Last week, I spoke with Brian Krebs about the Experian data breach and the selling of our personal data. We got a lot of comments and tweets, mostly along the lines of this one from a commenter calling himself John E. Reut, who wrote, quote, "Just listened to the latest On the Media podcast. Now I'm off to curl up in a fetal position under the bed and shake for a few hours." Journalist and Pando Daily editor Adam Pennenberg did what many listeners seem to think is the ultimate nightmare. He challenged hackers to hack into all of his personal information.
So I reached out to a computer security firm, TrustWave. They have an ethical hacking department.
And they said, well, this is interesting. Normally we do corporations. We don't usually do individuals, but we'll give it a go.
That's what they said. It's different for an individual because, as they put it, well, you offer far fewer attack vectors.
What a compliment.
Very sexy. But it turns out, you know, if you're going to hack a company, it just takes fooling one employee to do something and then getting that access to the network and then being able to leverage your access. But for an individual, it's a little bit different.
The rules you laid down for them, your kids were off limits and they shouldn't do anything illegal. But your wife was not off limits.
Well, I wish I had said she was off limits, and so does she at this point.
Take us through the steps that they went through to get into your life.
First thing they did is they did what I would do as a reporter, which is pull up every piece of information that's out there. Over the course of my career, I certainly have divulged information that would be useful for their mission. So, for example, I use Macintosh computers. I have for many years. When they create software code called malware, they usually do it for PCs because most corporations run on PCs. So now they had to actually code malware for me. They couldn't just use something they've used in the past.
So they created a chart, some 9 different ways to penetrate your life. One of them was to try and infiltrate your office at New York University.
They thought about it, but there was a security guard, and again, they can't break the law, and so they didn't come upstairs. But they did send a 3-man team to stake out the front of my apartment, and they spent a lot of time there, and they also moved over to a local park where they had a bird's-eye view of my front stoop with binoculars from a park bench, which sounds really creepy, watching my wife and me come and go. They wanted to sniff my Wi-Fi network, and so they bring their fancy tools to do that, and they realized there are 1,200 wireless networks in a 1/10 of a mile radius of my apartment.
Yeah.
Which, that must be another story
there. So then they tried to infiltrate your wife's Pilates studio.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Do I have to?
Yes.
They tried to get her to open up a fish. They did that to me, too. They would send email to me. And it was very fine-tuned email, not like some of those fish scams you get where you can tell it's a scam.
Like, it wasn't from a Nigerian prince. When they tried to fish you, they'd created an aspiring journalism student in Cincinnati who wanted you to look at her stuff. And when they fished your wife, they created a Pilates instructor in San Francisco who was moving to New York and interested in your wife's operation.
Exactly. And just at that time, she was looking for someone. And so the person wrote a very nice note, knew about my wife's studio, and asked whether there were any job openings, and my wife responded, well, maybe, yes. And she sent her a link to a video. And that video link was, it turned out, malware. And when my wife clicked on it, it ended up giving them access to her computer.
What did they get?
Buried in that hard drive was some of my old files.
Because it used to be your computer.
Well, I had given her a computer many years ago. The thing was that I never bothered to wipe my old hard drive when I'm giving it to my wife. I just gave her my old computer. I used to keep some passwords on there. And by looking at old passwords, they were able to then figure out, well, we'll just try all these different combinations of passwords. And ultimately, they cracked all of my passwords very quickly. And they were able to crack my Amazon password. And so they ordered 100 plastic spiders to be delivered to my door. Their company is called Spider Labs, which was pretty funny. And also, they cracked my Twitter account. They posted a very funny message for those who know me. It says, I love Stephen Glass. I was the one who broke the Stephen Glass story many years ago. And so to people who know me, they were shocked on Twitter, like, you love Stephen Glass? What are you talking about? I think the big weakness here are passwords. if you're like me, you have dozens of passwords that you need to use. Well, how do I remember them? Oh, well, I could store them in a file on my computer. Well, that's not a good idea, is it, as we learned in my experience. So what are we supposed to do then to keep track of all these passwords that we need to have with us to access all these services?
What about these password management apps? The Times had an article on it just a couple of weeks ago. They generate more complicated passwords and store them in an encrypted site. They can automatically enter the passwords if you're doing a credit card purchase. What about that?
I don't know. That may be a great idea. I have a feeling, though, that whatever someone comes up with, someone will figure out a way to beat it.
This is how these interviews always end, Adam, with you're incredibly vulnerable and there isn't a damn thing you can do about it. I mean, surely we can do better than that.
You would think. I can't say. I do think that it takes great skill to do what these guys did and to go after an individual, which took a lot of manpower and time. It's not the kind of thing that's scalable, so to speak. It's not something you can automate and make it easy to do. And I don't think that I'm a big enough target, personally.
So then the real answer here is to remain unremarkable, obscure.
You know, security by obscurity. This is the old motto.
Adam, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Adam Pennenberg is the editor of Pando Daily and author of the new Play at Work, How Games Inspire Breakthrough Thinking.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.